Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the program. I'm Michelle Meshe. Ooh, it's good to be here today. I've got a lovely, lovely decaf Americano that I just made, nice and frothy, foamy, and I'm ready for a wonderful program today. We have with us at 12:45 that'll be coming on air is Lee Miklowski, who's an artist, actor, actually very well-known actor, and a bit of a metaphysician as well. And just very insightful. He's been on before and is always a plethora of information and insight. So we're going to be diving in and touching a bit on myths, because we are changing our myths, our mythology in this creation of the new paradigm. So we'll be diving into that. And, of course, for questions or comments, if you'd like a reading, the number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad, and I will get you on air. Hello, everyone in the archives. Also, got some great email questions that I also want to dive into today for our little Ask Michelle series. I love it. If you send me questions or comments or anything that you'd like to know more about or share, the number is the email is awakenings@selfinlight.com, or you can also email awakenings@gmail.com. Either of those will get you connected to me and to Awakenings program, and our producer looks them over and passes them on. So again, awakenings@selfinlight.com or awakenings@selfinlight.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Also, we still are doing, and I'm going to continue just because I like to, are where and how you listen to Awakenings. So if you want to let us know where and how you listen to Awakenings, where are you when you listen to Awakenings? Are you in the chat room or the Sacred Space of Empowerment? Are you at work? Are you horseback riding? Are you vacuuming? Are you riding your bike? Are you sailing on a sailboat? Where are you? And how do you listen? Listen on the iPad, iPhone, computer, or do you call in or Skype it? So just let us know. And that, again, also is at awakeningsradio@gmail.com, or, again, awakenings@selfinlight.com will get you there as well. And also, please, listeners that listen, we have a lot of archive listeners and a lot of listeners via iTunes, which I feel is so cool, because a lot of people are in different time zones and it's hard to get here. It's really early in the morning, or really, really, for some people, really late. So you're here with us also, definitely in spirit, if you will. So please, you know, put some appreciation feedback on the iTunes page would be nice. If people could remember to do that, that would be great. Keeps our little engines humming here. How's that? Anyway, we have a lot going on. We're in a new gateway portal of light, so there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot of energy shifts that are going on. There's a lot of clearing out. And what I do want to say is, be aware or be mindful of your gifts right now and the way things are coming through and the packaging, the exact packaging that you want right now. But we're in a refinement phase. Things will be refined February, March on, so of next year. So notice what you're receiving. Notice what's working. Begin to let go or not focus as much on what's not working. Hey, Dreammaker. Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone in the chat. This is my The chat is my co-host. This is my lovely co-host anchoring the energy. And it's wonderful to see everyone in there. All right. So I want to get to a couple questions, and then we will actually get to people that are calling on the switchboard. Again, that number is 347-539-5122. Let's get to the caller first. Let's do a little, let's reverse the order here. Hello, 484-300. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany. Welcome.
Hello. Basically, I don't know how your program works. I'm kind of new to all of this and your show.
Okay.
Do I give you my date of birth, or how do you do a reading?
You can if I'm doing astrology. Just ask. Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, my question is, I would like to know, what do you see going on here in my relationship with the man that I'm currently seeing? His name is Dan.
Okay. Let's see. Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, I definitely feel some distancing. Is he either out of the area or emotionally distancing? Because I'm not feeling it as close as before.
Right. A little bit of emotionally distance because there was an incident Saturday night. I was really feeling a lot of insecurity, so I texted him and said, are you back with your ex-girlfriend? And he's like, no. And he said, why did you say that? And I said, because I had a feeling. And he said, your feeling was wrong, and I don't need this.
Yeah.
So
did I kind of ruin things a bit. I think you'll talk again, but it is showing restriction, emotional restriction, and moving. But he's also, I feel it's also a little bit of an excuse. I do feel, yes, you were feeling insecure, but I feel that that's coming from you're not feeling not just secure within yourself, but they could be friends. You're not comfortable with him, I feel, either being around her or other female friends. So, and that's, I feel with him there's a little bit of a don't fence me in kind of thing. I'm not quite ready for, you know, relationships. So don't bother me kind of thing.
Right, because see, I don't know where I stand with him because we date and we're involved and, you know, we're deeply involved and then, you know, he kind of goes in his little cave because he's a Cancer. He clams up, and then, you know, I ask him questions, and then here we are.
Yeah. He's, because he's not ready. So it's not the women. You know,
Okay. Any
of you guys, and believe me, I've been there where I've been cheated on. It's never about you. And I didn't ever let it miss my step. I kept with my life, my busy life. At the time, I was modeling and I was acting. I had a healing practice built up. Someone cheating on you, it's not about you. It's never
right,
about
and I don't,
you.
And
it's
and
never
I,
about
and I don't think he, right, and I don't think he's cheating on me at all. I think I'm the only woman that he's involved with or dating.
Well, he's open. I just feel he's not open for a committed relationship, and that's what you're wanting. So I feel that's kind of like a little excuse, like I don't want this. You'll see him again, Tiffany, but I feel that it's going to be you're going to be kind of walking on eggshells because you're not going to want to sort of upset the apple cart, you know. But I feel issues around him. I feel issues around intimacy and commitment.
Yeah.
So I feel like you were feeling maybe the ex was around, but really what it is, you're not feeling him totally there. Because if he was totally there, no matter if that ex was there or not, you wouldn't care. If you really feel the guy there.
Right, and he has nothing to do with his ex. You know, she's involved with someone else. They're not even friends. They're not even friends on Facebook. And
I know, but what I'm telling you is you're thinking that it's the ex. You're thinking it's the other woman. Have you seen this other woman? Have you seen this ex? And what I'm trying to tell you, it has nothing to do with the ex. You're just not feeling him in the relationship. So you're using the excuse. That's what very often people do. They think they must be seeing somebody else or interested in someone else, or they're not over someone else. Mm-hmm. And really it's that person. That person isn't ready, and you're feeling it. You're feeling it intuitively. You're feeling it subconsciously. But see, when we blame another person, I'm not saying you're blaming, but you're thinking maybe he's seeing this this ex.
Right.
It's easier to control the ex. It's easier to it's hard to say, to fess up and say, "Woo, this guy is not really in it. He's emotionally not available, or he's messed up, or it's the wrong timing." It's easier to see it as something outside the relationship.
Right. My whole thing is, if he's not ready, then why is he messing around with the fire, so to speak? If you're not ready, then what's your hand doing
because,
in the cookie jar?
Right, because sometimes people's ready is different than you're ready, and also sometimes people think they're ready or they hope they're ready, or people don't want to be alone.
I kind of feel like he may not be ready, but he doesn't want to lose me. I think is that what he's doing?
Here's what I'd like you to do, and I think this is for anybody in this type of relationship, is keep your own life going and keep the door open.
Okay.
You know, take it as a courting time. You know, in the days of courting, dating, you dated 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 suitors, and then you see which one resonates in the end by your values, principles, and beliefs. I feel you're going to be with someone else, but I do feel you're emotionally tied in with him, and so you're probably going to be tiptoeing back and forth a little bit, testing the waters, back and forth. I feel for you to take your power back, be empowered, and don't make it about him if he's ready or not. You can date him, but I would say casually, and then be open to other people, dating other people. Keep your options open and focus more on you.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're feeling, I can feel it. He does this like, it's like a little refrigerator door opens and you feel this cool breeze. He definitely does take this like emotional cutting off, distancing. And you were feeling that, and in your mind, common sense is it must be the ex is around, or he's interested in her, or is seeing her again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's just where he's at.
So you don't see him making any kind of commitment to me at all?
I think even if he did, he's not going to be committed in the way that you want to. There's something askew. There's something off with him into how much he can actually give or be there. And I feel with you, if you feel that little deep freeze, if you feel that cutting off or that detachment, you're always going to wonder what's going on, or he's interested in someone else, or he's not that interested in me, and that's just him. And I've seen guys, I know people, friends and also clients that are married to guys that do that. That's their way of kind of getting back into themselves and not feeling, you know, overly subsumed by feelings or the relationship. But for some people that doesn't work well with. Some women, they can't stand the space, you know, but that's his way of getting space and kind of keeping you in line, but things don't get too out of hand, you know.
Right, and he just got out of a long-term relationship 7 months ago, 5-year long-term relationship.
Well, and I can tell you this was going on in that relationship. It's him. It's how he relates. It's not anything about the other person.
Okay. Yeah, I've known him all my life, since I was a little girl.
Oh, my gosh. Well, go back, and you'll see it playing out back there.
Right, but see, we were just friends. You know, we weren't on this deep level. So now I'm getting to know him all over again, but we have all of that history and deep bond and trust and comfort, and it's like an old
shoe. But Tiffany, and I got to go to the next caller, you need to accept him how he is, where he's at, and adjust your expectations and your behavior to that instead of trying to mold him into something different, because he's that same guy. It's just you're more, I understand there's a different, you have a different expectation or understanding when the relationship is a different type, but when it moves not just friends, but something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so you need to look at that. Again, we want to base our deeper commitments and relationships and definitely living situation or marriage on values, principles, and beliefs. Do we value the same thing? Do we relate the same way? All right. Thanks for calling in, sweetie. Let us keep us posted.
Thank you.
Send you some little shot of light. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, 703-201. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Kathy. How are you?
Great.
Good.
What's your question?
I guess I will ask about my spiritual journey.
Okay. And what about your spiritual journey? That's a...
How I'm doing with it.
Okay,
If I'm doing the right thing.
Okay. Did you just get out of a phase of reading a lot? Because I've seen a lot of books around.
I still have a lot of books to read.
Because it's showing a lot of books. And it's showing definitely go in that direction. And also to work energetically and develop also the intuition is what it's showing. It's definitely showing you're on the right path. You are getting more deeper meaning, not just in life, but uncovering, I feel, even your what your life is about. That's the next phase for you is what I'm hearing. Let's see, what does she need to know? Let's ask her guide. What does Kathy need to know right now about her path? Okay, so do read the books, but also extend out. Get into some group work, okay? To extend with more like-minded individuals.
Well, that would be Reiki. Okay.
Ah, perfect. Okay. Perfect. So I've got two coming. Go ahead.
Oh, I was told that I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing yet. I haven't figured it out.
That it's going to come to you. That's the next. I also want to invite you, everyone. I have my Telesoul Path group and workshop that's coming this Saturday. That might be something you want to check out also, Kathy.
Reiki this Saturday.
You have Reiki? Okay.
Yeah.
We're doing it every month. So just so everybody know, you can go to Soul Path Group Workshop 3.eventbrite.com, and that'll give you, Siren Dreams put in the chat the correct way. I made a boo-boo. But you need to branch out. I feel like, working with energy. You said Reiki, so that's perfect. That's what you're meant to be doing right now.
Okay.
That's perfect for you. But you do have more that I feel will be opening or unfolding. I even see some groups, healing groups, you facilitating as well as organizing. But it is saying definitely to branch out into more groups, and it does so intuition and working with energy. So if you're working with Reiki, that's perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye. You're so welcome. Okay, we're going to get to the rest of the callers. Again, that number is 347-539-5122, pressing 1 on the keypad if you'd like to be heard. I want to get to a couple email questions that I promised I would get to. And one of them is, last week at the beginning of your podcast, you were talking about a misnomer you heard, love is the opposite of fear. During that time, you got booted off. I did, I know. If I could talk more about the topic. Thank you so much for your insight, suggestions, and help. So, Tara, perfect question. Yes, love has no opposite, and that's why it has varying degrees. You know, even saying love and hate is the opposite, it's really not. Love is not only a way of showing attention, receiving and giving affection, showing that we like something a lot, it's also substantive. It's the substance of the universe. It's a carrier wave of thought, feeling, desire. We're based on love, light, and wisdom. So when we say love is opposite, I know a lot of people that are very well loved and have a lot of love in their life and also are very fearful. And last week's show really went into this. I'm so glad because I felt like finally I was valid, you know, my belief and training on this and thoughts on this was validated. There's nothing wrong with fear. Fear is a natural occurring emotion, energy and motion, and it has a place. Our last week's guest, I believe, was Richard Moss. I hope Siren Dreams, is that right? I keep wanting to call him something else. I feel Richard Moss, MD, brought this really to home, saying, you know, we have fear, not just the reptilian or our ancient part of our aspect or the human, but fear says not now, not right now, wait, hold on, caution, or don't go. It's stuck states, it's chronic stuck states that we don't, that show less consciousness, less awareness, emotional wounding, is when we're in a stuck state. That state becomes chronic, that emotional state becomes chronic, then means the vehicle that we are, the vessel, the instrument that we are, the divine instrument, is stuck. It needs to be tuned or attuned, those of you that are Reiki practitioners. So living in coherence, living in resonance, being in harmony, harmonize, doesn't mean that everything is smiley, you know, it's different notes in our life, different colorings, different filterings, different shades, different hues that overall are the best blend of us and for us. So love is that unification. It is the unity. Love is the unifying force or factor of the universe and of us. So there are various octaves of love. There are various levels and stages, right, you could say. There's more embrace of love. There's more personal love. There's, you know, someone once told me years ago that some people love with a misshapen heart. So it's still love. And we have to get out of this polarity, you know, extreme polarity consciousness where there's always these opposites. There really are no opposites. There's varying degrees of something, just like temperature. You know, there's hot and there's cold. They're really not the opposite. There's still temperature. But the quality of hot feels a certain way and the quality of cold feels a certain way. But if you move in the middle, the cold gets a little warmer, right? Tepid. And what's in the center? And that hot, if you move in the middle towards the cold, begins to cool off. So part of the ascension, a big part of this shift in the ascension and our awakening, is to move out of the thinking about and living out the extremes of polarity consciousness, where something's good, something's bad. There's war and there's peace and there's evil and there's the do-gooders and there's the evil ones and there's those people that are fearful and then there's us that are loving. And so, yes, love has varying degrees. There are higher octaves of love, higher expressions, or more expanded or more conscious expressions of love. But it really has no place. Any common sense, love is not the opposite of fear. I don't even know where that came from. It's just common sense even tells you fear is something different. It's a different emotion. It's a different experience. But it's very possible to be very loving or feel a lot of love and still go through a patch of fear or feel fear. You know, if I'm walking my little Yoshi and I see a, you know, mean little doggy across the street or big doggy, you know, of some sort, I may have a flash of fear that says, just cross the street. Warning. But do I stay stuck in that state and live from that fear state? That's what we don't want. But we're here to experience and express all emotions. We're here to express ourselves, our uniqueness. That's our soul design. That's what we're all here to do. And to love ourselves. And one of the ways we love ourselves is by experiencing and expressing with each other and sharing and coming together in cooperation and synergy and creativity. Great question, Tara. Thank you so much for that. We're really moving out of the idea of opposites. We're moving more into the idea of complements. What's the complement to something? Opposites is so last century. It's 20th century. It's Piscean era. Aquarian likes blending. It likes taking what seems, the Aquarian age, what seems not to fit and letting it fit. See how it comes to, all comes together. Because the truth is, the divine expression that we are has many modalities, shapes and forms. We have many aspects of self, many ways of experience ourselves, many, many, many likes, many preferences, likes, dislikes, preferences. And sometimes they might seem like they don't go together, but somehow they do. You know, it's, that's what creates our uniqueness. So great, great, great question. Let me know what you think. Email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. Connect to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com, Michelle Mache. It's my name, but it equals Awakenings Radio. And let me know. Do you agree? Do you think I'm full of you know what? What's your experience been? I think you will find that as we ascend more, that's the whole idea of ascension, is we move out of the consciousness of extreme polarity, of playing that out. We move out of the idea of we have a dual nature, right? There's the feminine, the masculine aspect of us, you know, the within, the without, as above, as so below. But we're moving into how does that complement? You know, just like the electrical cord, the male part has the prongs that stick out and you put it in the female part, right? Where you get the juice. But and both are complements. They're needed, but you wouldn't really say they're opposite, right? We wouldn't really say, you know, or putting the gasoline nozzle in the gas tank. You wouldn't say they're opposite, but they go together. They're complements. I'm not, when they're needed, the two aspects come together and create some kind of function, some kind of meaning. They, you know, with the electrical, you get light, right? Or people that are seemingly opposite come together, but where do they complement? So that's the game we're moving into. Where do we complement? And in that complementing, we experience love. The more complementing, the more we allow each other to be and connect where we resonate with each other, that resonance, we experience love, personal love, romantic love, various aspects of love, agape love, that universal love. We connect in with the individual expression as we are, as well as the collective expression. Yeah. Love, love, love that question. Okay, 804-303, welcome to Awakenings.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. My name is Burnell.
Hi, Burnell.
Hi. nice to meet you. My situation is somewhat like one of the previous callers in terms of relationship. I had met a guy online last year named Charles, and we live in the same state of Virginia, quite a few miles away from each other. And you know, he's on SSI, and I really don't have any income at all. And sometimes he would come to my place and stay, or I would go to his. And by the rules of where he lives at, you know, no one else is allowed to stay in his apartment but him. So, you know, ever since we started, you know, talking to each other and everything, like when we're not around each other, you know,
You're wondering.
I'm really wondering, actually, because it seems like lately his attitude has changed toward me. Like when we're not around each other, he you know, would call me a lot, but he's been lacking on calling me, and he wouldn't return my calls or anything now.
Yeah. What I feel with him is he's needing a place to live, to land. So he's looking for not just emotional help, I feel financial. He's looking for some stability is what I'm hearing.
He lives in public housing, but it's for disabled people, and
But he's looking for something better and something closer is what I'm hearing. I mean better is something that's right kind of under his nose, something where he can, you know, have someone around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's needing. And I also am hearing income. He is needing some kind of income or help.
He's supposed to be on disability, and I think receiving retirement money, I think.
Yeah.
But he's
looking ahead, like if I met somebody that could, help me, could, be in the same locale, help, financially, someone that's there. That's why you're feeling that distance, And by the way, there's going to be a lot of that happening with a lot of people that, if you want to look astrologically with Saturn in Scorpio now, the energy of that aspect is reflecting has to do with looking for deeper, meaningful relationships, but also what do you need? Kind of cutting out the fat, what's not working, paring down and really beginning to look and see, what do I really need? That's the question. What's really going to help me or serve me? And, for some people it is going to be something of a financial nature. That's got to be part of, or I need a caretaker or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest to everyone that you start doing that in your own life. It's not that you have to X anybody out or cut anybody out, but see, what are you truly needing in a partner, whether it's business partner, personal, romantic, husband, wife, what are you really needing, and how can you get that, not only for yourself, what can you do to help you, but to the people around you. Do the relationships around you serve the deeper meaning or the deeper life? Scorpio rules a surgeon. It's going to cut out what isn't working or isn't healthy. It's over,
Okay.
Where it's no longer, how do I want to say, something you're serving. That's the bigger question. What's no longer serving?
Okay,
so I hope that helps for now. I would just start, just let there be some space. Focus on you. You'll hear from him again. You most likely will see him again. But I do feel he's he's looking. I don't know if he's found yet, but he's definitely looking or seeing, this may not work. Because I don't necessarily see you moving.
Okay, so I guess that means that we won't really reconcile and get back together.
I feel he's trying to. Let's see what our talents. I feel like he's trying to pull back or trying to get you. He still wants to be in his life. Are you out of town? I didn't hear what you'd said before. Are you guys in a different location?
Yes, we live quite a ways from each other, about 75 miles, and sometimes he will come here, and vice versa.
Yeah, he's wanting something closer, unless you were willing to leave everything.
Yeah, I don't
see that.
Yeah, I actually told him that, but when I tried to call him last night, he wouldn't return my call, and then I didn't hear from him at all today.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's already with someone else or something.
Well, I feel he's trying to. I don't feel they're totally in yet, so to speak. I don't feel they're totally, in the, he hasn't totally wrote them in or got them in consistently. But I do feel they're local.
And will it last?
He's pretty good at holding things together. He needs something. So there could be, it's hard to hear. Just, again, focus on you. You'll hear from him again, but the thing is, I feel with him, it could be, if the other thing is not totally in yet or, he's needing to talk or some cheering up. It's showing a distancing, and it's showing him wanting to move more to a acquaintance friend kind of situation.
So not necessarily a relationship.
No, a friend is a type, is a relationship. We're always in relationship. Even when you go to the grocery store, in the checkout, you're in relationship with that checker. But the type of relationship that you, I feel him distancing from that.
Okay,
In regards to you. Hello, 515-229. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. This is Carson.
Hey, Carson. Howdy.
Hey. Hey. I was wondering, I've been having some conflict coming up with a friend of mine. I just wondered if there's, if you had any insight on kind of what do I need to do? What's the best way for me to approach that relationship at this time?
See, we're getting, I love this. There's so much on relationship right now. Let's see what's going on. Yeah, not just, that's another distancing. So, power struggles. Now, are you sharing some things you're doing or your take? I feel like there's, like this person is also feeling like I know just as much or I know more. What's going on with that? There's a little one-upmanship there.
Yeah, I guess that maybe, I think that sometimes she feels that I'm trying to tell her that I, what?
Mm-hmm. That you're preaching
that
to her.
Yeah, that she's trying to tell her. Yeah.
That's what's going on. You got it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that I'm
that's
trying to control her. Is that what you said?
Well, control or actually, control or believe it or not, preach.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you're sharing things, and she's not ready to make the changes that you see she should be making.
Okay.
And she kind of knows that too. So she's a little grumpy about it.
Yeah. Okay, and I've definitely picked up on that, and I try to step back. So is it best for me to just, not share any of those things with her as far as,
No, that's a tough one because I think you have to monitor, and not everybody is standing and expressing in the same rate or the same way. And also, sometimes people get triggered because they know they need to make certain changes, but they're not. So they either pull away or then the little remarks come in. I feel there are some things that she needs to make changes in, but is not. Is that's part of it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I know my own life, or you've changed. You're getting more involved, and evolved is what I'm hearing, with what you want to do. This is for everyone listening as well, and this is going to be occurring more and more, especially when we get into February, March of next year. It's really going to go into high gear. It's not that we're not meant to hang out or be around people that aren't of as much resonance. I mean, because if somebody's in your life, there definitely means there's some resonance there. But we're definitely being, because we're supposed to be finding our soul group, our soul tribe, our communities, building community. So we have to, in knowing that we're all one, there is a space all together. There's definitely that spiritual connection. Sometimes I think in these kinds of situations, what helps is to do a meditation and see how you are spiritually connected on a soul level and on a spiritual connection, even on an astral connection, but maybe on an emotional level or physical level or, mundane, day-to-day ideas or activities, there's some distancing or separating out. What's happening is because we're being asked to focus on deeper meaning within our life and relationships, what's really more synergistic, we're being guided to situations or people that are more synergistic or harmonious or that bring about more coherence. And that doesn't mean that we ignore the other people, but we follow where is there more synergy. And that can also be, Carson, about what we talk about too.
Right.
I have some friends that I don't bring up a lot of the stuff that I do because it's just not the synergy. It's not the place for, like, this kind of conversation that we're having. We don't meet at that level. We do other things,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
mm-hmm.
then I have some really athletic friends that, before my car accident, you know, we go for a jog or we go rowing or we do things like that, biking. Maybe a little bit of this kind of conversation, but very little. You know, and because also their awareness isn't the same. They haven't, you know, this hasn't been that focus,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them. And just like I don't really want to hear half an hour, 45 minutes or 2 hours about time trials and qualifying for something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
I raced, I did like hearing that kind of stuff, but not for a whole conversation because I have this part of me, the spiritual, you know, focus and the soul diving into that or, you know, looking underneath the surface of things or metaphysics or alchemy or whatever you want to call all of this. So that's why I see we're getting nudged, you know, in different directions. And I feel with you, I can feel it in your heart that you really want to share with more people. You really want to have these deeper, meaningful conversations or I'm doing this or I'm finding this is going on or why don't you try this? And then the other person, oh, I tried that or I read that. That's great. I'm doing this. And but I don't mm-hmm. feel this person is at that place right now.
Right.
And
okay.
So it's showing you how to be with different people, how to meet people where they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, honor where they are and then set the boundary of, you know, they're not there yet, or maybe that's not even their interest.
Right. Yeah. So not trying to force it so much, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Not trying to force it. I have one of my siblings years ago, you know, when I was studying herbology, and I was very much into herbs and supplements, and he said, oh, that's full of, you know what, BS, and that's, you know, that stuff doesn't help, and until, like, a year or two later, and he's an athlete, elite athlete, he met somebody that he had really admired that was getting great, you know, time trials and awards and, you know, cycling, and he was into herbs. And, oh, did he like them then? And, I even went to their house, and he showed me this huge room where he had all these plants and, fresh herbs and dried herbs, and my brother was, oh my God, isn't this great, and oh, you can do this, it's so cool, and then it was, oh, my sister's into that, but see, it was more real, but before when I would talk, it was just a power struggle, it was like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, that stuff doesn't really work, you know, you have to take medicine, blah, 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 but when somebody that was more real to him, or there was a reason, there was a, you know, a connection, a bond in a like-minded goal and activity, the herbs were the best thing. And he got on them and herbs and supplements. And then he was proud that he had a sister that was into this weird stuff, you know, metaphysics and spirituality and all that's weird because this guy was this contemporary. Yeah. So does that help? Are you there, Carson? Did we lose you? Okay, I'm not hearing for some reason. I'm hoping that the... Let me know if I have sound. We've been really good on the no BTR tech issues right now. So, yeah, so that's for everyone. I guess we lost Carson. Carson, somehow lost. Did that help,
hey,
Carson?
Can you hear me now?
Now I can, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It got disconnected. I had to call back in. But I heard most of what you were saying there.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a great question. That brought up a lot of, yeah. And try to make it, at some point, our Telesoul Path group and workshop. There's a link in the chat. It's soulpathgroup-workshop3@eventbrite.com. I'll try to put it in again. I put it in wrong. Siren Dreams, if you could put it in again. Sorry, I put it in wrong. All right. Thanks for calling in, Carson.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So call in for questions, and also when our guest gets on, if you have any questions for our guest, the number is 347-539-5122. And also those of you that are looking at the Tele Soul Path workshop, it's soulpathgroup-workshop3.ebright.com, or it'll be on Facebook as well. All right, so we have with us Leo Miklowski, who is a modern Renaissance man. He's an actor, artist, author, and visual philosopher. His first book is Tarot Revisioned. It's based on a series of drawings for the major arcana of the tarot, which he also wrote amazing text on the subject and the symbolism of the drawings. He also wrote and illumined a revision of the story of Adam and Eve called Adam Reborn and Eve Restored, a romance in two parts. His third picture book is another revealed myth called In the Splendor that explores the story and purpose of creation as the expression and artistry of the lover yearning for the loved. He's published three volumes consisting of over 500 hand-painted and drawn images called the Codex Tor, which is a remarkable musical artist Flying Lotus, close images from these books as the art for this highly acclaimed album, Cosmogramma. Amazing, I would say, also visionary. He has an amazing studio for painting, and a lot of his, I would say, deeper esoteric work that's called The Hieroglyph of the Human Soul, which tells the story, purpose, and meaning of our human journey and why it has been so difficult and yet so beautiful to be human. I would say Lee is a storyteller, and he's a revealer within these stories of what is happening underneath the surface and what is giving deeper meaning to us as individuals and a collective as a whole. Welcome to the program, Lee.
It's great to be with you, Michelle.
Oh, great to have you back on, as always. Especially at this time, we've been talking a lot about deeper meaning and really transforming or revamping the myths that we live by. And I know this is your world, your territory. First, before we dive in, what triggered you or what inspired you to look at myth in this way and to do these revisions, this revisionary artwork and writings?
You know, the genesis of this entire process didn't come from a type of conceit where I thought, oh, I'll write these things or these things will come to me, but really started much more innocently as asking questions. I was very fortunate as a professional actor, which I started back in 1975 in Hollywood, to really have a career that allowed me to begin to understand that the culture and the demands of professions allow us to ask certain questions, but really the questions of the soul, of the heart, go unanswered because they're not provable and they're not, in a sense, accountable. They are really the poetry of our existence. And for that, we have to cultivate an environment that allows us to step away from the chaos of the world and begin to honor by giving residence to these possibilities, where we live. And that's what I did for over 32 years. It began with discussion groups. I would gather people of like mind, shared curiosity, and we would read all sorts of different texts and ancient traditions and went through theosophy and philosophy and alchemy and all these different considerations. And sort of the natural genesis of that was that I had always drawn, because I'm the son of an artist, and he had this wonderful expression. He said, when you can't talk about something, paint it. And so many of the philosophical questions and the stories and the traditions that we were reading, I realized that I could only get so far intellectually. And being a very visual thinker to begin with, I started to sketch the ideas, and much to my surprise, that I found by relating as I had as an actor, which means we step into a
going
role.
Deeper. Oh, Lee, now we have some people in the chat saying they can barely hear you. Is it possible either, I don't know if there's a volume on the phone or really placing it right under the mouth because they want to hear what you're saying.
Yes, this has been a problem. Let me see if I can. Tell me if it's where it's better, and I will try and find it. Is that better?
Let me know in the chat. It's getting better now.
Okay. And if this, let me see. If I,
yeah, they said better.
Better? Okay. How much better? So.
I'd say 20%. So if you can, yeah, whatever you're doing, if you could do more of that or bring it closer. Cause...
Okay. And let me, I'm going to just try turning this up. Hold 1 second.
Okay, so. Because you're a wealth of information, so definitely want to.
Yeah, okay. Now, is that any better, or I'm trying to think.
That's better.
That's
the
better?
First, yeah, that one's better. When you said, is that any better, that was great.
Okay, so right here?
Yeah.
Good, okay. I'm on a cell phone, so this has the tendency to drift in and out, unfortunately. And
okay.
Where I live has a dodgy service, I guess. You know, back, is this, and so you can hear me if I continue to talk for a moment?
Yes, please, go on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just to bring the question about where and how this developed, was to make a long story short, I really asked questions that, as I said, I began to draw follow spontaneous creation or improvisation, which I'd really learned as an actor. Not trying to prove something, but to see where the energies themselves took me, very much like a character. You have a character, and you don't really know how to do it or what to do, except that you put it into the crucible of your imagination. And over time, suddenly the memorized lines fall away, and you really do energetically embody the character. So my questions as an artist led me to begin with the tarot, which I spent 17 years on, and that wasn't something I intended to do, but rather came out of a request from a friend, Edwin Steinbrecher, who wrote, it was for his 6th revised edition of his book, The Inner Guide Meditation, which was based on Jungian active imagination, natal astrology, and the archetypes of the tarot. And I was very attracted to that because when he challenged me with it, I thought, well, I really do want to know, why is it that we are composed of these energies? What is the mythic
mm-hmm.
structure of who
yep.
and what we think we are?
Mm-hmm.
And that then led to really just an evolution of my work to always utilize art and, as I say, the tools of creation to ask questions mm-hmm. about the nature of creation. And to a great extent, my work is not the illustration of anything I thought I knew, but much more the revelation of a willingness to enter into the questions without an agenda, without a, you know, in a sense, something I felt I needed to justify. And so it's really
mm-hmm.
grown out of love. It's grown out of let's use our curiosity as our guide and see where our creativity and our imagination
mm-hmm.
take us. We've studied enough, essentially. It's now how do we take the adventure?
Mm. I love it. Now, how do you think and feel that the imagery of the tarot is changing? Do you feel it's the imagery that's changing, the meaning, the way it's expressed? Because we are, yes, these archetypal energies. Because in this revisioning, are we updating the meaning? Would you say we're updating the meaning?
I would say it's more like an archaeological dig. That
mm.
there's an assumption that it only goes so deep, and so we stop digging. But my
right.
questions weren't based on that agreement. I read everything I could, but my curiosity wasn't ready to, in a way, say, well, another person's interpretation is what I can live with. Let me actually go deeper and deeper and deeper. And what excites me about what happened was that the drawings that I did, really, they're in black and white. And if we look at them as a structure, they really become the black and white keys of the piano, essentially saying that all of these unique notes are part of the greater instrument of who and what we are. And for many thousands of years, we've been studying the notes, the difference between things, And what I found in my work was that it was actually like the wheel of the tarot coming full circle. I was coming home with the realization that the tarot, rather than being a belief system or a divinatory system, which is certainly part of it for some people, I found it much more an embodiment system. How do we come to perceive this greater archaeology of our unconscious and have access to it? So yes, it is a, because it's a tool rather than a belief system, it's constantly going through a metamorphosis. And I really feel the book that flowed through me, like the drawings, is a very important offering for those interested in the subject, because it will take them into the deeper mythic story of who and what they are, rather than just trying to figure out the different notes between things.
Now, Lee, where can, on Amazon, I'm sure, your book's available on, via Amazon?
It is. It's available on Amazon. It's also available through my website, which is www.leemccloskey.com, and Olandar, which is O-L-A-N-D-A-R, .com, which is the publisher. So it's... But it should be available on Amazon, and if you Google my name and you Google Tarot Revision, or you go to my site, it will come up. On my site, there are if you go, you can read an example of the writing, which is on the Justice archetype. That's posted. It says sample article, and then it says drawings, and you can click on that, and all 22 images will come up. And if you have a chance, really check it out, because I really, this is a labor of love. It's not something I was creating to try and teach people things, but much more like a delighted adventurer. I've realized that because of my relationship to it, it was able to move through me, very much like a character, without my over-identifying with it personally. And I think it's a very valuable tool.
Because I've got a question from Rhonda, who was a reader. She said, using it for divination, asking, two-part question. Where, she's heard that the tarot originated in Egypt. Do you feel it goes further back? And what is the tarot supposed to be showing us?
The tarot is primarily a grand attractor pattern, meaning that its age is ageless, because it's part of the very weave and structure of who and what we are. Essentially, we can track it back to Egypt. The historical remains are primarily take us back to the Middle Ages. But in a way, you would have to say, in terms of sympathy and in terms of a shared idea, it goes back to Egypt, and we can find it really in all of the ancient art forms of consciousness, all of the ancient mystery schools, because the first question always was, if you look in the mirror, do you think you are seeing yourself? Because if you do, you are seeing the reflection of yourself, but you are not yet in connection with the roots from which you are growing. So the tarot really becomes, and tarot means wheel, it becomes the wheel that as we grow out of this wheel, we begin to understand that we are not partial or incomplete, but holographic, or in ancient terms, a microcosm of the macrocosm, the greater countenance and the lesser countenance. And all ancient traditions, which is what the tarot grows out of, is the quest to trigger not the ego's recognition, but actually the deeper self's recognition of its own instrumentation, and that as we look at ourselves like a living tree, as the outcome of all ages and time, then the tarot gives us an opportunity to access this greater story that we are woven of. And so essentially it's a guide to helping us perceive the archetypal and mythic structure of who and what we think we are, and to begin to say, if each of us are given this piano, this wheel of archetype, and each of us have a unique music, a unique story, it's to learn how to play this instrument wisely and to start to draw a human portrait that isn't simply locked in this sense of self-reflection and what is missing in me, but to turn inward and to realize, oh, I have the keys. This is why the tarot is called the keys, is because each key will unlock a great treasure house of our deeper knowing. And it involves, of course, the imagination and empathy, which is which will trigger through our creativity, our personal expression, a much more full sense of our humanity, because we labor under a very crippled sense that we are incomplete and that we are missing something, rather than what the ancients would say, no, you are the outcome of all of this, and therefore with the right keys, man or woman, know yourself, and thou shalt know the mysteries of the universe.
Now, Leo, is the tarot reflecting aspects of the soul?
Yes. Essentially, it's saying that you are a sun, S-U-N. You are a radiant being. But to understand what composes this radiance, let's slice it up into 22 pieces of pie. And these 22 slices will each hold a unique radiance of this greater radiance. But by separating it, you'll begin to understand there's a language. And if you perceive the language, you will start to be able to draw forth the wisdom of these different conditions, these different doors, these different aspects of your greater whole and holy nature. A bit like taking a sphere and drawing a straight line through it in order to, or you see the right angle a lot in Masonic and Egyptian and all, you know, in that, or the alchemists. And the right angle was called the squaring of the circle. And the squaring of the circle had to do with, because we are eternal beings in time, we are experiencing ourselves in unique conditions. Therefore, our wholeness, which nourishes us, is in a type of divided world. So only by accessing the things that bring a greater reunion can we restore a sense of wholeness to our greater story that we are telling ourselves.
And I feel that's where we're going with this whole soul alignment, connecting more to the soul, that unique radiance that you're talking about. Can you talk a bit about that, that this whole awakening, this whole shift that's taking place, it seems is more connecting to this energy or awareness or reflection that you're speaking of?
That's a very good point, because everything in my work, I think, and what I like about when I have conversations amongst ourselves, you know, we're all on the same page. You know, I don't really need to teach anybody anything. What I'm trying to do is to restore a sense that, you know what, we're much more interesting than we think. And finally, a bit like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, we're returning home. We're going to make sense of our black and white world, essentially, and the differences between things. But we will start to include ourselves in the picture, because for so many ages, we have in this feeling of incompleteness, a sense that God is elsewhere, in a sense that we are condemned, that we have journeyed with this yearning and yet this almost tragic despair that no matter what we do, we will die in a type of dissatisfaction for ever having been. And that's really a theme that you can look at historically. And on a positive side, that despair has brought out Beethoven, Michelangelo, great poetry, because when we don't feel connected, our creative energies create something just not to go mad. And so this quest for meaning, I look at very much as what Carl Jung called the process of individuation, this journey through time and separation that has brought out of each of us a sense that we are uniquely ourselves. And this is very important, because we came from ancient times where we saw each other in one another and in the community, a bit like being with the mother, where there's a sense of connection, a sense of source, a sense of meaning that has to do with life, and that's enough. Love is enough. But the question is, why did we separate? And I think the tarot is a very great example. I'm convinced that we separated in order to bring out the library, the unique qualities of each of us living a unique story. But finally, and this is what my art is getting at, is we are returning home. We are actually coming full circle to not see ourselves in where we are not or where we think we have to get to, but actually as the outcome. And I go back to that living tree metaphor, that we finally stand upright rather than leaning into time with this ever crippling sense of we are not there yet, to finally say, this is who I am. This is what I bring to the table. And you know what? The question of being human is so vast, it had to be asked through all of us and all of our unique journeys. But when we come back together now, and this is the Aquarian truth, we will realize, like good theater or good music, that ensemble is the key. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. But you do know
right.
what, and I do know what I know. And maybe together, if we share, we'll amplify each other rather than canceling one another out because we are afraid that if somebody takes something from us, we will lose ourselves rather than if we
gain
together, we will be more.
Oh, I love that, Lee. I love, and I agree. So what you're, part of what you're saying, and I like this approach, that in the coming home, we're moving more into, if I'm hearing you right, coherence. We're coming together. And also what I'm hearing you say is still understanding our uniqueness or celebrating that, you know, our individuality, but it's this coming together to, you say, amplify each other. Can you touch on that a bit more?
Yes, and I can even liken it to the physiology of the two hemispheres of the brain. Because if we look at unique identity, that's the journey of the father. I think, therefore I am. Because when I think I'm not you. I think I'm me. But the other knowledge is the knowledge of the mother and the ancestors, and that is the knowledge of I love, therefore I am. And when I love, I realize I don't share part of a humanity, and you are part of humanity, Dee, but each of us are uniquely whole and holy. And I really see the quest as this right angle in the human heart of how do we hold our unique identity and yet open now to the knowledge of I love, therefore I am, where we honor the truth in each of us is a unique, whole, and holy expression of being human.
So it really, it is that, you know, coming together, that unification within and without is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and that's where family comes into being. In other words, not just your personal family, but the sense that your struggles are not just your struggles, they're human struggles. Your pain is not just your pain, it is human pain. And when we experience that, then we begin to perceive that the ancestors didn't have it wrong. They had human pain just like we did, and like we do, but what they are saying now within us is, you see, you are the outward face now in time. You, like a bud, beginning to sense that you are about to blossom, are the transitional phase in the journey of human consciousness that can now hold both this vulnerability of blossoming to the greater story, purpose, and beauty of our human journey, as well as holding in strength your unique identity. In other words, you will not be swept into hallucination, nor will you become lost. And this I liken oftentimes to the soft spot in the infant's skull when we are born. And we notice when your parents, you see how your baby has this sort of awe, you know, and you really see the face of God, this absolute wonderment. Well, this soft spot is there. But as it hardens, you see how the vision comes into the eyes. And suddenly there's a focusing of this and that, dark and light, because we have to learn the codes of this world. We have to understand the shared principles and laws and fundamental agreements of this world. But that's not the end of the story any more than the bud is the end of the story of the flower. What it's saying is that in the journey through these eyes of differentiation, it's to finally teach you, a bit like a gyroscope, that you can hold the structure of shared reality, but now through self-determination you can also trust this once soft spot, in other words, this sense of wonder once again. And this is where I see a new union coming, which is that we will not be swept away into hallucination or dementia as we let these greater energies of wonder and possibility re-inform who and what we are. this will create a new union. And that's why I see this relationship to the living library and the DNA, meaning that each of us hold in the DNA the living library of the whole of the human story. And therefore, as we see our unique disposition, our eyes, we will begin to understand that now we can trust, we will not be swept away, our greater imaginative energies. And in this new union, there will be a blossoming of creation, and words such as beauty, fragrance, meaning, shared knowing will become more and more part of our shared human story. Because the two eyes just tell us things are this or that, I am for mm-hmm. or against something. But this is really bringing us into a new synthesis, I'm convinced.
Mm-hmm. So are we, are we reimagining things, or is it new meaning to old viewpoints and myths?
You know, I really feel that all consciousness is a bit like a tuning fork, and that we strike the tuning fork of a great idea, and it resonates across the ages like a great symphonic work of music. And it explores all of its conditions and possibilities until it becomes, in a sense, once again, that pure note. And this is what I'm seeing, is that when it becomes that pure note, we realize now we can strike those harmonics within ourselves, and they will open up a greater field of vision. And that's why the myths, even Joseph Campbell said this, that the artists of every generation must reinvigorate the myths, because they're not dead letter. They're not stories that were written once and that's it. They're the parables that can't be expressed in facts or science or belief. But really, it's the hero's journey. Each of us are on this unique quest to finally perceive that we are whole and holy and the outcome, and therefore do have access. And if we trigger these notes with our imagination, just like Van Gogh is different from Michelangelo, or one artist is different from another, we'll start to realize that it's not the one version that we are seeking or the one vision, but vision itself, meaning that we want to inspire each other. You can go places I can't, and vice versa. So tell me the universe that is you, that you know, and you deepen my sense of humanity.
So, Leon, are you saying that it's just, I love that you said, so it's not the particular vision, if I'm hearing you right, but to just even reconnecting to vision in general?
Yes. In other words, that if we begin with the premise that we are each whole and holy, that we are the holographic nature of creation, meaning that each of us hold unique geometries, a unique blossom, but essentially we are not born of time, we are born of creation, and that as we enter creation, we unfold with a unique story. But like each blossom of a flower, you can't say, oh, the petunia is far more beautiful than the rose. You just say, no, they're unique. Mm-hmm. Blossoms. And this again is what the Maya were saying, is that the fifth world that we're entering is the age of flowers. And I'm convinced, meaning that it's the age of honoring, as artists do, as musicians do, that you really want that unique blossom of another person's unique universe, because once again, when we come together, we will amplify the story and create a greater field of resonance, wherein it's not just solving our problems individually, but in the greater radiance, we'll be reminded that we have so much more access to a perception that frees us from too much indwelling on what's wrong with me, as opposed to maybe something is profoundly right with me. My story is uniquely essential, even if I don't understand why.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said about there's something, you know, right with me, because I do feel so much time, and even the idea of certain therapies has been on that what is wrong. And I feel like we're in this phase, or have been, you know, for the last, I don't know, 10 years and getting more, that it's what's right with you. And, you know, I would like to say go where you're, you know, celebrate it. You know, it's this idea that don't try to do that round peg in the square hole or square peg in the round hole. You know, go, where are you fully blossoming? And be there and celebrate that. You know, not in cutting off or I'm, better than you're better, or, you know, any of that. But it seems like we are moving in this time, you know, this age. I mean, time is like an age of go where you are allowed to blossom.
Absolutely. And this is something that, that I think is shifting, and it's a type of node in a way that each of us are finding and gathering with each other to begin to amplify that truth. You know, that, that for so long in the journey into self-reflection, we've been so keeping our self-image in relationship to what we're looking at, that everything is based upon, am I taller, am I shorter, am I older, younger, smarter, stupider? You know, and that's not personal. That's in the very wiring when we take it back to when this really all began with the outward thrusting ego that really did take the quest away from itself because it felt condemned by the ever-growing sense of lack and incompleteness. But what I find is that now, the creative element here is it's not someone showing up from another planet or some religious figure returning. It's really the sense of theater which within each of us that says, you know what? The story we write about reality is based entirely upon the assumptions we hold. And if we begin to hold different assumptions, they will begin to grow a different garden. That's why even the assumption that I am here to blossom will begin to awaken on a quantum level that possibility. And that, to me, is the true nature of where we are. It's like being a little child. At one point, communion is given to you. And then you grow up into this difficult world. You're battered by it. You get, you know, in a sense, cynical about it. And then it says, now, even in this, can you once again reawaken your sense of innocence, your sense of wonder? Not because you've become unconscious and forgotten about all you've gone through, but to create a new partnership that lets you perceive that as you draw on an assumption that I am the outcome of a great journey called being human, maybe I can learn to forgive some of the things I hold so contemptible about myself. And self-loathing is such a dynamic problem, because we really have been convinced that our psychology is about what's wrong with me rather than what's right with me.
I love that, that change, you know, that open, that blossoming that you talk about is then possible. You know, it's possible with that viewpoint. I think it's very hard to blossom when the very nature of thoughts and actions is causing constriction. Which
and
is what we had before, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I almost feel like the analogy would be that, you know, it's basically as some of us begin to tend the blossom, a bit like flowers in springtime, you know, I'm convinced probably within the flowers, they're all getting to the bud state because for a long time they were growing upward. They thought we were getting somewhere in like the spearhead of the blossom, you know, of the bud. It's taking the beating through all of these different weather conditions. And then it's there as this bud, and all it feels is a sense of constriction. Until finally, I believe, a few flowers start to go, oh, what the hell? Let me just see what happens if I finally surrender and go, I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm convinced that that's in that sort of surrendering, we begin to open, and other qualities that we couldn't know in the bud state because we were so constricted with fear and a sense that we weren't getting anywhere begin to unfold within us and for us, and the other flowers in the bud state start going, oh, I didn't know that was possible. Oh, I thought this was the end. I thought it's just where the bad guys win and we all lose and, you know, and die, you know. And that's what I'm understanding, is that the new season is we finally surrender to this sense, I like this version of being human better. And at the end of the day, if everyone's making it up anyway, what stories are you listening to? And why?
You know, I love that, Lee.
Yeah, we have to decide to tell a better and more loving story of our own purpose and to begin by looking in the mirror and saying, I like you. Thank you. What an incredible gift this human journey is. No matter how difficult and dark it is, at times, it is capable of blossoming into unimaginable and dazzling beauty. And that's what we see every spring when the flowers open. They didn't know they had it in them. And I think that's the same thing we're going to discover. We are so capable, and we've gone through this hardening process in order to finally support the blossom. But now it's up to each of us uniquely to blossom, to finally say, I like this story better.
And oh, I love that.
To agree with the story I don't like. I don't have to do that anymore. And I'd say even like be a bit petulant, say, who says? And to what end? Why am I agreeing? I don't need to agree. Mm-hmm. Somebody tells me I'm sinful, or I have to fear my id, or that I'm you know, the product of meaninglessness. I say, you can believe that math, but what does it add up to? Show me the art. Show me the music. Show me the belief in humanity that comes from this way of thinking, and I'll listen. But if there is no beauty, no meaning, no depth to these things other than a sense of despair, I don't have time for that anymore.
Mm.
That was the gift of 9/11. You know, I realized it's over. I won't agree to agree.
Yeah. And do you feel more people, I love what you're saying, to agree, you don't want to agree to something you don't agree with. Do you feel that more, or that's happening with more people in this awakening? It's like, I don't want to play that game. I don't want to do that. Why? I don't want to agree to this anymore.
Yes. And I think that that's why bringing it home is essential. That you can't do that on the vast general being against something. Oh, the dark forces and this and that. You know, it's not that one can escape those energies or escape the fury and the, you know, just that comes from seeing this remarkable dumb show and noise that's going on the planet right now. But I do think that, yes, we finally say, at least where I live, let me tell the story that I believe makes being human noble and worthy. Let me share this with my children. Even if it's not reflected in the world, I will no longer wait for my neighbor to wake up. He is who he is. Let him treat his family well. But it is not up to me to tell him what to grow in his garden. It is up to me to grow my garden. That is the greatest empowerment on the planet that we have. You can't fight tyranny. You can't. It's sort of like what the Christians understood about the Roman state. The Roman state was a great killing machine. And so the point was they gathered in homes. They gathered around those of shared empathy, and they said, let us tell the story worthy of generation, because this seed is not something that will blossom in our time, but will be carried across the ages to finally blossom in another time. And that's why I really feel that the key here is where we live, it's how we treat those we love, and to tell a story in our intimate circumstances that we then carry back out into the world of shared chaos. And I think when enough of us carry this meme, essentially, it will shift the gravity, you know, mental gravitational field of the planet, which is primarily in a panic right now.
Yeah. But we have to do it. If I'm hearing you, you're saying individually, we have to do it. And I love what you're saying, really unplugged from the tyranny. So we keep telling people, you know, we're fighting with ourselves, fighting with others, telling them, oh, this is the way to do it, or this is, you know, better, or getting all into, you know, nitpicky. And, like, release that tyranny, you know. But I am hearing you're saying it's individual to the collective. It is us changing the story, the myth. It's really coming from us is what I'm hearing.
Because, essentially, going back to the flower metaphor, a flower does not blossom in its neighbor. It blossoms in itself because it finally says, I don't know, but I like this story better. So I'll hold even if the rest don't. Do you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's our martial arts of consciousness, the Aikido moment that says you can believe whatever you want to believe. And those who understand the ways of tyranny, dominance, and power have had, like an old vampire, thousands of years of doing it. They're very good at it. So the essential, and you look at that in a larger sort of psychic sense, that really is the tyranny of the ego separated from any sense of its source, and that it's caught in a type of self-reflection based on the tyranny of trying to control form. And what I'm talking about is actually the reawakening of the energetics of perception that says love conquers all, but it doesn't conquer as battle anything. It simply says, I will inhabit this truth and share this truth with those I love, and that's what I will share with generation, because as a living organism, I like this story better, and that's enough for me. Otherwise, I'm against somebody, you know, and I feel that that's basically what creates us the path of foolhardiness. You know, we have to.
I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, we have to be for what we believe rather than against what we don't believe. And that's why it's great, in a way, a great template. I always think I'm sort of in this, this training process of how to avoid the vortexes of reaction, you know, and to use my anger and my outrage creatively. I think that's why I'm so productive. Every time I get, like, gut-rushing,
exactly.
I just want to growl.
Well, I agree with you, but that's transmuting the energy. That transmutes that energy into amazing creations. I mean, and I always say, if people were more creative, we wouldn't have war. You know, you don't see artists having war.
Yes.
You don't have time for it.
Exactly. No, and that's why I agree with you. I think that if we remember, it's not about being a painter or being a musician, but we are artists of consciousness, meaning the question is not a matter of the product you create, but your approach to creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our own creation. We are.
And we are.
Our own creation.
Yeah, that's the key. We are an art form. And again, going back to just, I like that story better, you know, the art form, Dali said it great. He said, no lazy artist ever creates, a masterpiece. And I'm convinced we humans are masterpieces. And it's been hard work. But at this point in the story, we must stand up and say, I now allow myself to assume this simply because I can breathe when I think this way. I feel yes rather than yikes. And I don't stand, even if I panic. And we all panic. I mean, there's a lot of dark stuff going on. We've got to, hold hands and go, yeah, it's dark. But if we understand the alchemy, then we start to look at the darkness not as real, but as actual. Like weather is actual, but it's not real. And because it is weather, then we say, well, what is it generating in us? It's saying, I will not devote my life to fear. I will not become less because another person tells me they are in charge. I will not give away my human soul for the sake of my panic. I will hold on to this. And as you say, the artist in us, and we are all artists, says, use the materials you're given, compose the story you can live with, and when you do, you will realize it will begin to change, maybe not the world as it is, but it will certainly begin to change your perception of the world, and in that moment, you will begin to oxygenate your perception, meaning it's not something, you will simply be able to breathe more deeply. And when we breathe, suddenly that which was constricting falls away. And we begin to say, I have more possibility here. And that's very important.
Very important. Oh, Lee, thank you so much for sharing. This has been amazing. We're out of time for today. Let's see, for more information, people can go to your website, leemaclowski.com. And that's LeeMcClosky. And also Orlander, is there a website too?
Oh, it's Olandar. 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 Foundation for Emerging Renaissance, which is OLANDAR. And that's on Facebook, but it's a community page, so anyone can go there. And both of those sites.
Oh, good.
Connect to me. And if you want to contact me or you have questions, please feel free. From my website, the emails come to me, and the same thing from the Facebook page. And then I also post on Return of the Divine Feminine, and I'll put artwork up on that as well on Facebook.
Oh, perfect, perfect. And if you don't mind, you can even link to our Awakenings Radio page. That way people can go back and forth.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And we'll put some stuff up as well. I tweeted some of what you were saying and a link to the program as well. But I think you're really helping put a map if you will, to the awakening and what that means to us individually and collectively, giving that visual map, which I think is great. Thanks, Lee, for being here. Thank you so much.
As always, it was a delight, Michelle, and I look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, me too. Till next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye. And wonderful participant listeners, thank you also for being here and living more and more awake. I so really enjoyed this divine awakening conversation with Lee. Again, our guest was Lee Miklowski. You can find him at leemiklowski.com or on our Awakenings radio page or the Orlando Foundation for Emerging Renaissance, which is also on Facebook. So connect with everyone. We're really, it's about reaching out, stretching out, connecting, and sharing in these spaces with each other. As always, always continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.